Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. And this week's Superhero Time did not air because of some shit, I don't know, tennis or golf or whatever. So instead of doing a normal episode, we are going to do the long-fabled Ryuki spoiler cast.
It's finally happening.
Woo!
Woo!
And today we have a special... Oh, who's that guy? Oh,
I beat you before you could say it.
he's coming. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
It's Tomaz. You remember him?
No one remembers me.
Okay, he's here, and he's here to talk about Ryuki. Because he liked it before anyone.
Vaguely.
And who are you?
Oh, I'm Liam.
I'm Jeff.
Hi, Liam.
Hi.
Why are we here today?
We're here to talk about Kamen Rider Ryuki. We almost did Ghost, but...
No! There was no Ghost. Fuck off!
Okay, I thought briefly over breakfast about doing Ghost, but I realize we've complained plenty about that show, so...
Do you think you could ever get me to show up for anything about Ghost ever again?
So before we get started, Jeff, why don't you take us on a journey through Ryuki's plot, jog everybody's memory, so they know what we're talking about.
All right, buckle yourself in.
Okay.
Kamen Rider Ryuki is the movie The Highlander 2, but with Japanese people, and it's good.
Highlander 2?
That's it.
You insult Ryuki.
I said, but good.
Highlander 2, though...
It's the same fucking plot!
He can't say it's Highlander 1 but good, because then that's saying the Highlander isn't good.
You could just say
Highlander
1.
No, Highlander is great. It's not Highlander 1, because they're not competing for a wish or whatever. They're just fucking killing each other. Highlander 2 is when the dumbass wish shit comes in.
But in Highlander 1, they're competing for a vague prize. Does that count?
Kamen Rider Ryuki is a series about Shinji, who is an idiot... Who gets drawn into the Rider War, which is a fight between a bunch of huge fucking assholes who are trying to murder one another so that they can gain an ultimate wish.
And Tezuka.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's
Tezuka.
Not an asshole.
Yeah, well.
Tezuka is not an asshole, but most of them are, and most of them have very stupid wishes, but the main characters all have wishes that matter, so there's a lot of conflict in the series. And you never know who's going to come out on top. And then they cop out at the end.
So without mentioning spoilers, what did you guys think of this show, first and foremost?
Go ahead, Tomaz.
Well, it was actually the first show I watched all the way through. Back in 2000... Did I watch it in 2009 or 2010? I think it was 2010.
It was 2010, because I watched it with you.
Yeah, because I remember seeing Double, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why are you watching whatever this is? And then I, you know, I got over that, because I realized, oh, it's not some stupid bullshit. And
no.
For
anybody who doesn't know, no one I know knew anything about Kamen Rider until I forced it on them.
Yeah.
In such a way that a court case could have been brought against me.
Yeah, Jeff just pestered all of us until we started watching it.
So... I watched Ryuki with Jeff here, and then I think Liam watched it sometime later.
Way later.
Way later. And at first, I really, really loved it, but it was the first show that I watched. My opinion of it then was that it was enjoyable. It was also silly. I liked the characters, and it was enough to just, you know... keep watching. It was new to me. It was something that I hadn't really seen before. But in retrospect,
I enjoy it,
but I wouldn't call it among my favorites anymore. I'd say at some point it was like, oh yeah, my favorite's Ryuki. But after some time and after watching some other shows, I wouldn't really call it among my favorites, but it certainly does have some enjoyable moments.
All right, I guess we'll let you live for
Tomaz
that.
Tomaz has got bad taste. Jeff, what do you think of Kamen Rider Ryuki?
I like it a lot. I think Ryuki has probably some of the highest tension level
An
audience viewing member of any Kamen Rider series. It keeps you on the edge of your seat very well. I will say there are parts of it that drag, that get a little repetitive with character interaction sort of repeating itself. But no series is perfect. I don't know if I would list this amongst my, like, top two, top three series or whatever, but I'd probably list it in the top five.
All right.
Yeah, that's...
And Knight sucks dick.
Oh, well, all right, that's what we're going to be?
Just getting it out, that is out what of the we're door gonna nice be. And quick.
Let's get it all out right now, gentlemen.
I don't know, the whole podcast is going to be this.
Oh. I don't want to be here anymore.
All right, fuck off. Tomas, let's talk about Ryuki.
Okay.
Now, Liam, what did you think of Ryuki as if no one knows already?
I fucking hate Ryuki. It's easily probably my bottom three. I'd say like Ghost is the worst. Ryuki's probably the second worst. It's a garbage fucking TV show.
There are people who hold that opinion.
They're wrong. Okay? Ryuki was the second writer show I ever finished. I finished Stronger, and then I was like, I want to watch something new. I watched Ryuki. Well, newer.
You want to watch something new? So you watched the series from 2003?
Shut up, okay. New relative to 1975.
I guess that's true.
And this was the show that made me fall in love with Kamen Rider. I loved it. Even the dumb shit in it, which I acknowledged even while watching was fucking dumb shit, which we'll get to later.
Bullshit artist womanizer.
Bullshit. I don't know what you're talking about, Tomas. That's the high point of the series, but
it's true art.
I love it for its characters, and I love it for their complex interrelationships and all the conflicts they come into, and just for the base premise of riders fighting each other for a wish. That it's just like a cool concept, even though they ripped it straight from Highlander.
Highlander 2.
Whatever. Who cares? It's a big contest in a city, and they're all killing each other for a vague prize. That's. I think Highlander fits in there. But yeah, Ryuki, best show. Good suits, pretty bad final
best
forms.
Show?
Best, my number one favorite. But everybody already fucking knew that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Heisei, your show
that
is
doesn't
favorite.
Come as a surprise.
What?
Considering that you'd probably have like a docky of Knight. And then you hug it when you go to bed and you whisper Tatakai into his ear.
He's the only writer who I ever bought a figure of. Never bought any figures other than Knight.
Really?
So there you have it.
You didn't even buy the Agito figure when it was on sale for $12?
Nope. I should have. I did. In retrospect, but...
Nope. Yeah, I fucking did.
I got a small little Agito thing that I got when I was in Japan, but... Nothing
pretty
like,
sick.
Oh, yeah, a big 10-inch, you know, full plastic, posable, nothing like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got an SH Figure Arts, baby. $12. They're normally like fucking 50.
Yeah,
it's
a pretty good.
In here.
So, okay. That's our basic thoughts on Ryuki. Let's get a little more into it.
Spoilers from here on out.
Spoilers from here on out. If you haven't watched Ryuki already, go watch it. It's a good show. At least all of us can agree on that. It's a good show. Our varying levels of, yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this 8 minutes of our podcast.
I don't think anyone goes into something called a spoiler cast and not expecting it's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't watch this first.
Get the fuck out of here. And spoilers ruin Ryuki. Just for any of you going in, maybe I could watch it. No, it'll ruin it. Don't. Just go watch the show.
It's like trying to watch The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Why?
You know Bruce Willis was dead all along. It ruins the whole movie.
What? He just fucking said it. He didn't even hold back.
Snape kills Dumbledore.
What?
Oh no.
So anyway, moving on.
Okay, I'm curious.
Odysseus makes it home and kills his wife's suitors.
Yeah. Oh, that scene is great.
Spoilers.
I'm curious, Tomas. You said earlier. You liked it at first, and then over time you liked it less. Why is that? Let's open the discussion with that.
Yeah, expound upon that for us.
It was more of a... I got exposure to other series and learned more about, like, what the series was known for, like, Kamen Rider as a whole.
Yeah.
So I saw, instead of, you know, everything at once, and learning about the show from Ryuki, I was comparing it to other series and, you know, what the roots of the series and what they're all known for, and trying to decide for myself what it did that was different. And I do like some of what it did different, but the overall tendency after Agito to just start throwing in a whole bunch of different forms and special attacks and flashy bits that can sometimes be amusing, but if used too much, just kind of drag on. It doesn't happen so much in Ryuki, but I feel like that's where it starts. Like, that's where they test the waters with it, and then people were cool with it, and so then that kind of became a thing. I don't hate Ryuki for that or anything. It's just sort of like a, and that's where that started, which sucks. But, I mean, it's okay most of the time. You got weird shit like Nasty Vent.
Nasty.
Ryuki is the birthplace of the CGI abomination.
Oh god, Ryuki
in Kamen Rider.
I still maintain that Ryuki has the worst special effects of any Kamen Rider show. Like, I rate him worse than Kuga's just because they're everywhere and they're in your face and they're so bad. But going back to your earlier point, Tomas, Jeff and I always talk about the toyeticification of Kamen Rider across the Heisei era. Mm-hmm. And while I would argue it doesn't get really fucking toyetic until post-decade, you can sort of see, starting with Ryuki, a gradient beginning from, like, not really giving a shit about toys to starting to give a shit about toys. Now suddenly they all have these, like, they got the sword vent, they got the guard vent, they got the gun vent, they got the, like, all these different weapons they have on them. Mm-hmm. I can kind of see that as, like, what you were talking about at the beginning of, like, let's just have all this shit in here.
Yeah, especially with all of the... Well, they said 13 riders, but it's not really 13 riders.
11 riders.
Yeah.
Like you said, I didn't mind that so much, though. I thought the vent system was really cool. I especially love the visual effect of, like, you pull a sword out and it just flies out of the sky and you gotta catch it. And it's used for this really great moment in the first episode when he doesn't catch it because he has no idea what he's doing. And the sword just lodges into the ground. And he's like, whoa, yeah. What? What? Was I supposed to get that?
If you're talking about toyetic, though, the cards start here. Like, there are cards in series afterwards,
mm-hmm.
but this is the first card system in a Rider, and they sold all of those cards and decks. You know, they come with the,
Liam has
the fuck
one.
They're called. Yeah.
I have a knight deck.
Yeah. And they sold, like, extra cards and stuff as they happened in the series as well to add to your deck.
Those bastards.
And, like, cards were, and I guess still are, massive in Japan. There's a huge industry built on them.
Mm-hmm.
And Toei was like, we need to get some of that fucking money going.
And that's another thing that when I learned more about the series as a whole instead of, like, the individual series as I watched them, like, the first time I was like, oh man, cards, that's cool. And then I learned more, I was like, oh, so, no, that's just something that they did. And there's lots all
Blade
over.
And Decade, and yeah, cards are all over this fucking place.
Mm.
But unlike, this is what I was talking about earlier with the gradient, I think unlike later Rider shows, the cards aren't as intrusive. Like, you don't have a whole fucking episode about Nasty Vent, he just uses it.
Which... See, the cards are only really intrusive in that way in Decade. In Blade, you would be forgiven if you never even noticed that there were cards in it, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, besides the cards that hold their aces, they don't even really bring attention to them. They swipe them really quick, and that's it. You barely even get to see them.
Oh, the quaint old days.
And now, like, a character gets a new weapon or something in a Kamen Rider series, and they're like, this is my new weapon, this is what it can do, and they start moving it towards the camera.
The camera, yeah. Like, it'll zoom in on their hands while they use it, so you know how to play with it.
Yeah.
Like how, like what they're doing in X-Aid, where every show that has to have a new form, every episode so far has a new form or a new ability or something like that.
I wonder how they're going to keep that up, because so far it's been a new rider or form every single episode.
I don't want them to keep it up.
But
no,
enough
they
about
need to slow X-Aid. That shit down, but
enough,
yeah.
Yeah, enough about X-Aid. But that's what I meant, like, gradient. You can see, like, just like Blade, it's not really... So I think that I'd forgive that.
The CGI abomination is where my big problem with Ryuki comes in. Like, if it hadn't have been for Ryuki pushing the CGI, I don't think it would have become as prevalent as time went on.
Because that was a really refreshing thing about, like, the two shows with, like, Ryuki and... Not Ryuki. Kuga and Akito. They're very combat-centric. Not, you know, flashy special effects and... explosion things that just are a billion colors and crazy abilities. Like,
yeah, they were very kung fu centric.
And Agito has, like, two forms and then a form that's like both of them, but it doesn't really matter, and he only has the two weapons and then everything else is punching. And then his final weapon.
I love the way forms are treated in Agito, where they just pop out, they just have them, and then no one speaks a word about them.
He just has them, and they don't matter whatsoever, and he tends to just use ground form all the time anyway.
Yeah.
Unless he has to use something different.
Yeah.
Whereas in Ryuki, it is nice that they only have, like, their form, and then maybe, like, they get some cards. Or maybe they do this instead. There's no episodes devoted to, oh, I got this new ability I gotta try out. It's just like, oh, well, he just uses this right now. And then he gets fucked up, and then he has to leave. And
yeah.
As much as I enjoyed Blade, Blade is the beginning of we need to have a step ladder of forms where you go up to a middle level and then a high level.
The Jack and King, yeah.
And every time, like every new series has added a new rung to that step for the most part.
You
skip a few, but
your early arc upgrade, your mid-season upgrade, your final form, and then your movie form, and you got the other form.
Yeah.
Forms.
Nowadays, you have your original form, your quarter season upgrade, your mid season upgrade, your 75% season upgrade, your final form.
And your movie form.
And the movie form.
Ryuki, though, represents like kind of a turning point in Rider history. Like you said, the action is a lot flashier. And I've heard a lot of tell of people complaining that, oh, this is just like a Metal Heroes series when it came out. There's nothing really. Like, if you look at every Rider series before Ryuki, if you had been a kid watching Rider up to that point, or even like an adult, like you're like a 40-year-old man, you've been watching Rider since 71, and Ryuki comes out, and you look at it and you're like, this isn't Rider at all. It's not about heroes teaming up to fight a monster or a robot army or something. It's about these fucking assholes who find super armor killing each other. And I love that. I absolutely
There was a lot of blowback.
That.
There like was a lot of blowback. There's archived like BBS boards from 2003 in Japan that have been translated that are literally just filled to the gills with people being like, this isn't Kamen Rider. They've ruined it. They've raped Kamen Rider. It's never coming back.
And yet there are
the series
folk like...
is done.
There are folk like Hideki Kamiya were like, oh yeah, that's my favorite Rider series. Oh yeah, I took a lot of inspiration from that.
The beauty of it is, though, the beauty of Ryuki is what it did for Kamen Rider is it opened it up. It opened it up completely, and then it opened it up. That's why I think the pre-decade Heisei's like era is the best, because Rider could be anything. It could be about anything. It could be about violin, vampire, romance triangles. It could be about dickhole attempted rapists getting their fucking... It completely blew the doors open for like, all this show needs is people who transform. That's it. That's Kamen Rider. Anything else goes. And I like that. I love that.
It's too bad that the Rider half got left in the dust, though.
The actual riding bit, yeah.
You got the rides. What are they? Ride cycles or something?
Ride shooters. They're called ride shooters.
Yeah, ride shooters.
Ride shooters.
They suck dick.
They do nothing. They take you from the real world to the mirror world, and then you get out, and then you leave it behind. And there's nothing else.
You could. It's one of those things where you could literally cut them out of the series, and nothing would change. Not a single thing. Not even an action sequence would change.
Yeah, you could just jump. You could, and most of the time, they just do jump from one mirror to the or one window to the other, and they just cut it out, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Yet another way that Ryuki blazed a path to the future. Fuck motorcycles.
Talking about what Ryuki did different, though, and how it opened up the early Heisei era to be anything, I feel like that's something that people who've watched only post-decade series won't understand. Because if you've only watched post-decade series, Kamen Rider seems like it can be anything. But there's a very strict formula being adhered to in post-decade series. Even Gaim, that broke the formula somewhat, still had the main Rider-esque hero in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it had a lot of the same tropes as the series that surround it. Early Heisei, like from Ryuki onwards, was literally anything. And some of the series have nothing to do with Rider as a whole. Like, Den-O has nothing Rider-like in it. It's its own series entirely.
Den-O,
and Hibiki
argues...
is like a fever dream.
Yeah,
yeah,
Den-O
Hibiki
and...
is no Rider series at all if it wasn't called Kamen Rider.
Den-O is the weirdest Rider series by far. And Hibiki is like this weird, like, mentor student. The guy's like 38 years old and he lives in a forest and he turns into a demon. It's like,
it's more like a strange, like, adult tokusatsu in the vein of, like, a Garo or something. it has a far more adult theme than the Rider series that surround it, or that you get nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, Rider's very different in the early days.
I miss that.
Too bad TBN is the only place it's translated.
Well, Metronome subs are doing it glacially. It's happening.
It's happening.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Sort of like how Heat Metal is glacially retranslating Ryuki.
Ayo. Mm-hmm. Back on topic.
Back on topic. What do you got for us, Liam?
What do you got for us?
You're leading us in this conversation. Where are we going?
Well, fuck, I didn't accept this position.
Well, speaking of the,
yes, you did.
The retranslation, that's when I've been rewatching it. It's kind of stalled because they were doing other stuff, which is perfectly acceptable. Like, they're just doing this free for fun because people like the show, so whatever.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that this kind of stalled at the moment because they just got to that point where I think episode 24 or 25 is like the episode after Tezuka bites the bullet, and there's that great scene where they're in the mall and he's like, Tezuka!
Yeah, holding him in his arms.
I do love that. That's one of my favorite. That's probably my favorite moment in the entire series.
Really? Let's talk about favorite moments. Jeff, what'd you like about that moment?
The thing about that moment is they had built up Tezuka to seem like he was sort of duplicitous to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He had this air about him that seemed like he was untrustworthy, but as we got to know him, it wasn't like an exceptionally long time that we got to know him, but as we got to know him, we realized he was genuine. And he gave up his life in order to give Shinji a fighting chance. And it was heartfelt, and it was, you felt it as an audience member when he screamed Tezuka.
He wanted
to, very well delivered.
He wanted to prove that he could change fate, because Shinji was supposed to just fucking eat it like usual, because he's a wimpy piece of shit that can't really do anything most of the time, except run around with his, just, like, he's the kind of guy you could just see walking into a building and just immediately tripping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing I really loved about Kamen Rider Ryuki, is it's one of the only series where the main rider is probably the weakest one. Easily gets the shit rocked by every other character in the show.
He is the weakest and the most incompetent.
Until he gets Survive, he's probably one of the weakest riders, period, like, in all of the Rider franchise. He's down there.
Yeah, that's a funny thing that we talk about a lot, is that riders only seem to develop and gain the ability to defeat opponents through upgrades. And I feel like Shinji might be the most perfect, clear example of that. He was literally incapable of defeating almost anyone until he got his upgrade.
Although that was only halfway because he didn't want to.
Yeah.
That's true.
So both mentally and physically incapable. Tomas, do you have a favorite Ryuki moment in mind?
Well, my memory of the second half of the show is hazy, because I haven't seen it in, like, 6 years, but...
Oh, yeah.
My
Ditto.
Memory of the, my memory of the first half of the show is much fresher because of the rewatch. And as far as that goes, I'd have to say one of my favorite moments is... I really can't think of one.
That I steal it?
Yeah, I like that moment. It's mostly just because a lot of the characters I don't really like. I like their portrayal.
I like that. I like that everyone's bad.
I can enjoy a good villain. I can enjoy, like, well-played villains. But most of the villainous stuff in Ryuki just comes off kind of hammy, because it's a Kamen Rider. Most of the stuff's a little hammy sometimes.
It does have a serial killer wearing leather skin pants.
In the
TV Nihon translation, he keeps using the word vexes.
Vex.
And that just
that
irritates me so much, because it's a word you don't want to repeat, because it loses its meaning and it's just silly after a while. Like, maybe once or twice. What's up?
Does it vex you?
So I was gonna say that, but I didn't wanna be the one to do it.
What does
I had to.
What does Heat Metal translate that as?
He says it pisses him off, which is more natural.
That sounds
more
natural.
That pisses me off. Yeah. Instead of, this vexes me. It's like, fucking 19th century piece of shit over here.
That's what he's, like, most famous for, that line, that terrible translation is probably the most famous thing he says.
And I'd have to say,
vexes me.
I'd have to say the second most famous thing for me in the TV Nihon translation is the way they translate the ending line. It's like, if you do not fight, you will not survive, or something like that. And it's just, it's the wordiest, most roundabout way to say it. And you're just like, what did you just say? And they use it at the end of every episode. It's like,
if you do not fight, you will not survive.
It's like, can you listen to yourself when you say that? You could probably say that about half of the TV Nihon translations. Like, how about you read that back to yourself before you put that in the show?
We got a little off topic here.
In short, Tomasa's favorite Ryuki moment is when Oja says that something vexes him.
It is kind of a favorite moment because it's just so fucking ridiculous.
My favorite moment is when Oja eats his mom's shit to survive.
Oh, I love that scene. It was very emotional.
That was a great artfully done scene.
Have we never told you about that, Tomas?
I know he eats dirt.
No, have we told you about the Ryuki novelization, Tomas?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. I guess you get to learn. Audience gets to learn again today.
Okay, I guess since it's a Ryuki spoiler cast, we can do a little crash course on it since we've talked about it before.
Of course.
There is a novelization of Ryuki written by the infamous Toshiki Inoue, in which we learn that Oja, Asakura was his name, was born. His mom gave birth to him but didn't want him, so she stuffed him in a toilet. She just left him in a toilet. Like, I don't think she bothered to make sure he was dead or anything. Because later she takes a shit on him, and he eats it to survive. And he survives on his mother's shit for like a week, and then when he's like a week old, he crawls out and kills her. That's the book.
It's 100% legitimate, Tomas. I know it sounds like something we made up to fuck with you, but
that
it is 100%
so
legitimate.
Fanfiction.net.
Like, he's gonna grow up and fuck G3 or something
and
like that.
And then later on, he changed his name to Shadow the Hedgehog. And
there's other weird shit in there, but I mean, we could do a whole podcast about that.
Weird shit.
Pun intended. Am I going to talk about my favorite Ryuki moment, or are you going to fucking pick one, Tomas?
Pick a moment.
You pick one.
You like that
I'll
moment when Shinji turns around in his chair and silently gives that goofy fucking ass look tonight?
I give that look to people. That one where he's biting his lower lip and
like
the thumbs up, yeah.
When the spaghetti falls on what's-his-name's head, and he's just sitting there with fucking spaghetti on his head.
Absolutely best moment. My favorite
the best
moment... What?
The best moment is when Zelda silently transforms to get away from his fiancé in the boat. That's the best moment in the whole series.
That's the funniest moment. The best Ryuki
What's
moment is...
What's your favorite moment?
Is the fight at the carnival.
I knew you were going to say that. I think we've went over that in the regular podcast once.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it again here. It's part of the best and worst plot arc in the series. Kenzaki Shiro, the man who set up the Rider War, is upset that people aren't fighting. So he uses his secret mirror powers to fuck with the medical equipment of Knight's girlfriend to make it that she dies real fast. She's going to die soon. And the doctors are like, Knight, she's going to die real soon. And she's going to die. So
we didn't bother doing any medical tests or anything. We just looked at the equipment, and she's going to die soon. So
he goes to a fair with Shinji, and you can tell he's bothered by something. Shinji and Yui, and Yui's on the merry-go-round, and he turns to Shinji, and he's like, Shinji, we have to kill each other. And Shinji's like, what? And he's like, we got to go do it. So they go, and they have this fight outside of the ferry, and it's really good, because that's the one where Knight uses survive and he's kicking Shinji's ass, and you think for a second that maybe he's actually going to do it, and Shinji finally finds the resolve to use his own survive form, even though he wasn't going to use it, because it was like a ploy by Kenzaki Shiro to get them to fight each other. But he uses it. It's a really amazing fight sequence. It's the first appearance of the final form. That's how a final form should be done. Every time there's a form introduced in Rider, it shouldn't be like Gekitotsu Robots, where it just kind of happens in an episode. It should be like Survive, where there's like an actual plot arc leading up to it. A big, big like build up a big emotional impact, and then a kabam, he uses the form.
And like, that's when Knight gets his revive form, is when Tezuka dies. He uses it to fight off Ojo.
Yeah, it's tied to a plot arc that just happens to involve the hero needing to be stronger. It's not just like, here's this rider and he's got
it's a form written into the story instead of, asshole. Well, we gotta have it here so we have more toys.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, so I love that bit where Ryuki first uses Survive. That is a very emotional scene. It's probably my favorite scene in all of Rider. It's up there, at least.
Really?
Yeah, love it.
A fun fact for Tamaz, Knight, who is named Ren, right?
Yeah.
Ren loves his girlfriend, so he's going to murder people so that she can live. However, in the novelization, he also fucks Yui while his girlfriend is in a coma.
Look, Jeff, they're on a break, God. Okay?
We're on a break!
We're on a break!
I'm doing all this so I can save my girlfriend, but I need my side piece.
Look, he's
man's gotta get his dick wet.
Yeah, you can't blame him. He fucks with his comatose girlfriend in the room. Like, they're in the hospital.
Are you, like, kidding me?
Nothing could deflate a man's motivation more than that. I have to save my girlfriend, I love her, but you know, my penis is hard, so...
I mean, I got Yui right here. Oh, I never
really liked her position in the show either. I liked her grandma. Her grandma was great.
Oh, was yeah, when aunt. She's working at the cafe.
That was her
Yui feels like a character that the writers didn't really know what to do with.
That's like, kind of like every female character after Agito. Yeah. They just forget how to write female characters.
There's like, they were like, oh, we gotta have a girl. What's she gonna do? Fuck. I don't know. We'll figure it out in episode 40.
You just said it right there. Fuck.
Well, that's the book.
That was Inoue in the back. Fuck.
Shut up, Inoue. We told you to stop coming back here.
Inoue, get out of here. You could write the novel, whatever. Just leave.
But it's...
Yeah, Yui as a character is a little bit superfluous to the rest of the story, which, as Tomas pointed out, can be said of most female characters in Kamen Rider.
At least after Agito, because in Kuga and Agito, they're great.
Kuga has a fantastic female lead.
There's something that's Red Letter Media says all the time, that they put a female character in here that they did nothing with to show that the main characters had a case of the not gays.
Yeah.
You need to prove to the audience that your characters aren't going to fuck each other, because there's a lady there that they both show interest in.
Well, it didn't work, because Ryuki and Knight both sleep in the same fucking room.
But you still have to bait Fujos.
I guess, yeah. It's a fine line.
You have the middle-aged women watching, so
yeah,
you're walking the tightrope. I feel like
you still got all Yui... your pretty Japanese boys.
Yeah, that's half the fucking market.
Mm-hmm.
Yui and the logistics of the Mirror War in general were one of the weaker parts of Ryuki. If I were writing the show, I would never explain it. Just be Kenzaki Shiro was a mystery man, and he pulls people into his mystery game. And you never learn about it, but it's a 50-episode show.
They explain way too early.
They over-explain the shit out of it, but at the same time, they don't explain enough of it. So Kenzaki Shiro, they create the mirror world, there's a fire, but they make a mirror world, and Yui, okay.
Do they make it, or do they discover it?
I think they discover it, but they draw pictures of the monsters, and the monsters become real in the mirror world.
If they do discover it, they have some sort of weird power over it that nobody else has.
Yeah.
So I feel like they make it.
Well, either way, they draw monsters, and they create all the mirror monsters, and then there's a mirror Yui that says, I'll come into your world, I'll be your Yui, but I'll disappear in 20 years... And that's why Yui remembers her parents being very nice, and Kenzaki remembers their parents being very awful, because that Yui is from Mirror World. So Yui's there, and she's going to disappear when she's 20. So Kenzaki Shiro finds out that there's a wish or something, but you have to get 13 people to fight to get it? But he's not fighting. He's not in the race.
It's very specific.
But he wants
the very specific wish.
What the fuck? Like, I don't understand the... He doesn't make the wish, I don't think.
Why does a wish exist? And why do people have to die? And
The point is, you start to explain it, and then you don't finish. Either don't explain it at all, leave it a total mystery, how did all this happen, who knows. But they go halfway of like, here's the origins, but but wait, what the fuck is this? We're not going to tell you.
That's a good point that you make, though. Kenzaki Shiro is not in the fight.
He's got a horse in the race.
He steals their wish.
Odin appears several times. I was under the impression when watching it, it was 6 years ago, I didn't really remember it that clearly, I was under the impression that Odin was Kenzaki Shiro. It turns out that it's just a hobo.
I think you're led to believe Odin is Kenzaki Shiro, but it's just, like I said, he's got a horse in the race, it's Odin.
He's just a hobo man.
Just a hobo, I don't know, some random dude. I think Odin's job is to take the wish and give it to Kenzaki Shiro, or like, use the, like he says... I don't fucking... You never know who Odin is, so you never know what the fuck his deal is.
You don't know anything about Odin's story at all. Like, how do you convince someone to murder 13 people for nothing?
If they're homeless. I mean, you don't agree to that if your life's going great, so...
Like, you know who he should have asked is Oja. Oja would have murdered 13 people for nothing.
Yeah, but he would have...
That's what he loves!
His own life was shit.
Oja would have used the wish to make the fighting go on forever, Jeff. Remember? He's unstable...
He really wanted to just murder the same 13 people over and over and over
again.
Because
all that poopy he ate.
He's all that.
That guy's full of shit.
Nah. Not bad. You did it good.
I feel but like the later writers that were introduced were kind of like...
Emperor?
They was grasping at straws, especially when we got Alternative...
Alternative
Zero. I love those designs, but the concept behind them is grasping at straws.
I like the characters. I love that whole Tiger team. Their whole dynamic was an interesting thing in the story. They're so obsessed with themselves being here. They're, in my mind, Tiger is the most hateable character in Ryuki. Because he's so high and mighty about being a hero, and he's such an asshole, but he's so convinced that he is the bestest guy in the race.
Not Oja, the literal murderer?
He's no, really. Oja's honest, okay? Oja's good old fashioned honest man.
Here's the thing, honesty is not that important of a virtue when you're a serial killer.
No, Oja was up front, okay?
He's honest about all those people he murdered.
Oja is who he is, okay? He doesn't lord himself over you. He's just like, I'm a dick, I'm gonna try and kill you.
Yeah, he doesn't lord himself over you because you're dead with a knife in your chest.
How can you not? Hate Tiger so bad. He's
I
such
do
a
hate
shit.
Him. I'm just saying he's not the most revilable person in Ryuki.
I totally think he is. He deserved the well. He that's another thing. He was a great character. I loved him. I mean, I love to hate him. But they try to do this weird redemption with him where he like shoves a kid out of the way of a car and gets hit by the car and they're like the newspaper's like, dude, he was a true hero. No, he wasn't. Fuck
yes, he
guy.
Was. He saved that kid.
He saved
That's
my ass.
That's kind of how I feel about a lot of the characters in Ryuki that are, like, trying to redeem themselves. Or, well, I just really have one dude in mind in particular. I can't remember, like, anyone's name at the moment. Dude in
Which
green
guy?
Is the shooter.
Zolda,
yeah. Kitaoka.
Kitaoka. The way they handled Kitaoka was really weird because he's smarmy and cocksure and a womanizer, but at the same time you're supposed to think that he's a good guy because this one time he'd paid for this girl's medical bills, and it's like, so
well, no,
he has a bright side, but most of the time he's just in it for himself and he just wants his way and he wants to have a whole lot of money.
Well, no. Kitaoka is... his redemption arc comes with him... Kitaoka isn't like a cocksure, like, I'm gonna fucking kill all these people and get my wish. He's like a coward deep down inside. That's his story arc, is him coming to terms with the fact that he's like a coward that wants to pretend that he's not.
It's really at the base of his character. All the other writers have all these wishes, but he's just a guy who's so afraid to die.
Yeah. He's afraid to die, and he's also afraid to fight.
I guess I just don't remember that second half of the show as well. Because in the first half of the show, he's really just, like, getting in fights.
He's a dick at the beginning. He sort of mellows out later on because much, much worse people come around.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, to begin with, when it's just Shinji and Ren... he feels like he can handle the situation, but then when a literal serial killer shows up, he starts second guessing what he's doing.
Shit gets serious, yeah.
Yeah. Also, there's some sort of a weird god with a staff.
Some kind of
phoenix
guy. That
can control everything somehow.
He can turn back time and punch you in the dick before you're even born, and
Kenzaki Shiro put his money on the right horse, I think. If I had a choice of anybody in the Rider War to put money on, it would probably be the guy that could control fucking time.
How could Oja ever lose?
He just kind of got the good monster. All the other monsters are kind of shit in comparison. Like, scissors? What the fuck is the deal with scissors? Don't know.
Yo, he's a giant enemy crab. That's awesome.
Oh god, if I had to pick a second favorite moment in Ryuki, it'd be Scissors' death. Holy shoot.
Yeah, he does get it.
That's one of the most horrible deaths in Rider history. When Knight breaks his... For those of you who don't remember, Knight breaks his belt, which breaks his contract with the crab monster that he allies with, and the crab monster eats him alive in front of Knight, and you don't see it, but the crab monster, like, bear hugs him, and then Knight's like, oh, God, and you hear, like, the... Oh, God, help! It's so fucking cool. It's
a learning experience for the series as well. Up until then, you only hear what happens. Like, little hints of what happens if you lose control of your contract beast.
And then they just throw a fucking dude under the bus, and they're like, oh, he's gone. Yeah. Who's next,
well, it's
huh?
just fucking Scissors.
Oh, fuck him, yeah. He's an arc rider.
Yeah. A lot of people complain about that, though, with Ryuki, that there's arc riders, characters that don't matter, that are just introduced to be thrown away like that. Like, a rider usually has more weight as a character than a normal thrown-under-the-bus monster character.
But that was what was different about the show, is that instead of having, like, a main series of riders, and then they're all together, and then they're just constantly in conflict, like most of Gaim, it's sort of like a... Well, there's these two fucks, and then there's some other dudes that show up, and then they go away, and then some other dudes show up for some reason. Like, where were they? Who knows? But they're here now.
Two guys versus the world, and it's the other riders aren't as important. But I don't think fucking Scissors was there for nothing. You just said why he was there. It's to up the stakes and show you what happens when you fuck up too bad.
Well. The thing that people don't seem to understand about Ryuki is that the riders that are used in that manner take the place of monsters.
Yeah.
They are the arc monsters.
Yeah.
It's just because they're called rider doesn't mean that they're any better than, like, T-Rex dopant or whatever.
And that's another way in which Ryuki... That's another way in which Ryuki sort of opened up the series. Riders can be used in all these different ways now. All these new interesting ways. I liked it.
Well, yeah, because the monsters kind of took a backseat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, a pretty heavy memorandum on what could be a rider and what couldn't, to the point where Shadow Moon isn't even called Kamen Rider Shadow Moon.
If he was today, yeah, he'd be Kamen Rider Shadow. If Black was made today, I think.
Yep.
He's got pretty much the same origin. Tackle wouldn't be a rider, though. Stronger's made today. Tackle wouldn't
Tackle's
be a
lady, so...
Fuck Tackle.
If Tackle was... Tackle's probably better off not being a rider, because rider women die within 3 episodes of being introduced most of the time.
Yeah, thank God Tackle survived all the way into the end of Stronger.
Look, she survived a decent amount. This is a spoiler cast, by the way. Just because it's a Ryuki one doesn't mean we can't spoil other shit. Fuck you.
You haven't watched Stronger yet? Too bad!
I haven't watched Stronger.
Too bad! Tackle dies.
Yeah, but...
Tackle dies.
Everyone fucking does.
Yeah, everyone knows Tackle dies.
Ryuki used riders in a different way that hadn't ever been done before, and I don't think has really been done since in that way. Maybe Hibiki has a lot of riders come and go in that way.
Yeah.
It's been done similarly, but not exactly the same, because you wouldn't want to do Ryuki again.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, using them as, like, arc fodder in the same way as a monster. That doesn't really get done in other rider series for the most part.
Yeah.
Not too much. I mean, Gaim a little bit.
Even like, the closest thing to an arc rider I could see in Gaim is maybe Cid, but even he lasted a long ass time.
Cid was like almost like over
like
half
a third
series,
of the show,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't really count.
No,
Jam.
The one that,
how can I forget Jam?
Jam. Can an arc be one episode that no one cares about?
Apparently,
is that an arc?
I don't know
enough about Kabuto to really say if there's anything like that.
Well, in Kabuto, the bee is used in that manner, but the bee just continually comes back with a new user.
Yeah, the actual characters who use the bee are consistent. They don't just come in and leave. It's just the bee keeps switching users, so I wouldn't
Which
I wouldn't
is kind of... It's kind of sad to me, since the Bee is the best-looking suit in the series.
Yeah, he's used by 4 different people, I believe.
Yeah, he's used by the Hopper brothers, by Kagami and by the guy that plays Goro.
Mishima.
Whose name? Mishima, yeah. Forces it to be used so he can fight Kabuto once.
Mishima, an actor who is also in Ryuki as the servant of Kitaoka, who makes really good food.
Goro, right?
Goro,
yeah.
Yeah, he's Bando in Gaim.
He was also a serial killer in Amazons. He's just got to be in every
show.
Yes,
he was. He's in a lot of Rider.
That's his job.
That's his
Not job. As much as the suit actor for all the Heisei Riders, though. He's like, all of them?
Except for Kuga.
Except for Kuga.
What's the fuck his name? Seiji Takeiwa.
Yeah, Seiji Takeiwa. He was Gyro.
Yeah.
A beloved children's character, Gyro.
Who could forget Gyro? Oh, boy. So back to Ryuki.
Sure.
What should we say now? What words should I say?
You're leading this conversation real well.
Oh, about Arc Riders.
Sure.
About Arc Riders. Let's talk about Kamen Rider Guy. Remember Guy, the Rhino?
Yeah, I remember Guy the Rhino.
Yeah. He was trying to follow Oja in some way. Trying to pick fights with him. Like, oh yeah, you want to fight? I want to fight too. And then he just gets his shit slapped.
He pays the price.
That was a pretty weak arc.
Guy is part of the worst arc in the show. Worst or second worst. One of the worst. About the Mortal Kombat Underground video game fighting arena where they go to...
Oh, yeah.
They go to parking garages and put red lights on and film themselves beating each other up.
A movie had just come out recently. Can you guess what it was?
Trainspotting?
It's called Fight Club.
Let's do Fight Club, but dress up as the Grim Reaper. that'll be so cool.
There was a definite lack of subtlety in that adaptation.
It was the stupidest thing in the history of man, but the end of him, Rhino Man's death, was one of my favorite deaths in Ryuki, if you guys don't remember.
Liam is dressed as the Grim Reaper right now, you fucking edgelord. Everything you love about Kamen Rider, it's like, I love it when this guy died. I love it when this dude suffered.
That's the joy of Ryuki. That's the show, though. It's the same reason people love Gaim, is all the death and hate and pain and suffering. That's why you watch Ryuki. You don't watch Ryuki to have a great, happy time. You watch Ryuki to see people do awful people doing awful things.
Well, here's my
and
question about that.
Shinji be
then.
A fucking moron, too.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my question about that. Japanese media tends to have a lot of, like, really deep, heavy subject matter in some of its productions, like Evangelion, for instance. But there's still that slapstick Japanese style of humor injected into it. Do you think that detracts from the weight of the story?
It's not too whiplashy, I feel like.
Yeah.
It finds a way to blend it together, so it's not like... like how the recent Marvel movies are just like, oh, I'm gonna have some slapstick humor, and then let's get back to fighting, and then jokes that flop.
Some recent Marvel movies where you literally never know when they're gonna tell a joke, because it could happen at any moment.
Yeah.
And wreck the tone.
Sometimes that does wreck the tone. Like, there was a moment, I watched Doctor Strange, I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
There's a moment in Doctor Strange where a character just starts laughing.
Yeah.
That completely fucking deflated the moment.
Yeah.
And any sort of triumph in the moment was ruined.
Yeah.
I liked the movie mostly, but that was a problem.
I'd say overall Ryuki doesn't have any of those issues. It knows when to be serious, and it knows when to try and get a laugh out of you. And usually the music is a good indication, too. Like, if the music's all pumped up, they're not going to be cracking jokes. They're going to be punching shit.
I think the fact that Shinji as a character exists in the way he does and was already set up to be this goofball allows you to have as many goofy moments as you want without it seeming too whiplashy, because it's who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have something like Evangelion, which is supposed to be about characters that are like clinically depressed, and then one of them falls down and shows her vagina by accident, and a nosebleed happens, like Master Roshi, it kind of takes you out a little bit.
Man, I wish that happened with Ryuki.
You wish Knight fell over and showed his vagina.
he was showing his vagina every time his face was on screen. Ryuki walks a pretty fine tightrope between humor and seriousness, and even I found myself not really, like Tomas said, there's no whiplash even in the bit when Kitaoka is trying to escape from his fiance, we were saying earlier, where like when he first shows up he's very threatening, he's the strongest rider at the time, he's a huge asshole, he's big trouble, he's this big dick who wants to live forever, but you get to that point with his secretary, and by that time he's been around so long and he's been sort of supplanted as the main baddest guy by other people that it doesn't really feel that weird to see him in that role. You've stuck with him long enough that you're ready to see him in more like different kinds of situations. I felt the series handled humor pretty well.
I can agree with that. If a writer example of tonal whiplash happened in Kabuto with the Hopper brothers' existence.
Kabuto's Whiplash, the show.
Yeah, they like the Hopper brothers went from being these hyper competent badasses when they were the B to when they were the Hopper brothers being like Hot Topic vomited on two Japanese children.
the best scene with the Hopper brothers is the scene when the writers are like winking right at the audience and being like, yeah, we know, is they're all walking together and Sasord walks with them because he wants to be cool like them, and there's like this fat ramen noodle stand guy, and he sees them and he's like, you guys all look like fucking idiots, and starts laughing at them. That's when the writers are like, yeah, we know, we fucked up, we're sorry.
I think my favorite moment with them is when Tendo asks them to help him and Kagami near the end, and they're like chained to the ground.
Yeah.
And they're like, we must find our true darkness again. And Tendo's just like, whatever.
I'm not going to beg you two idiots. Fucking Kabuto is a show that doesn't handle humor very well, if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a whiplash. Like I said, Shinji as a character was established as being this huge fucking goofball.
Mm-hmm.
So having him do ridiculous things never seems out of nowhere.
No, it's a good setup for him.
And I like his workplace and the people he interacts with there.
Or in general, yeah, all of his coworkers are cool.
The coworker scenes exist for a very important reason.
They're fun relief, and they also give them a reason to go out and do shit, and occasionally disappear.
If they didn't exist, it would be all him and fucking Ren all the time.
And there would have been no reason for him to ever really run into Ren or have any of that happen.
But it's also good because it's one of those things that's disappeared from Ryder recently. Those scenes that remind you that the Riders are just people also. Hey, he's got a job.
Instead
he's
just
gotta
wakes
work for
up.
His money.
And he's like, I gotta get in another fight.
Instead of just waking up and having a stupid, ridiculous outfit on and going to fight, and like, where does he live? How does he pay for shit?
There's
no, he's
no normalcy.
It's like, you never see him use the bathroom. It's like, why is there no toilet on this spaceship, huh?
And I'm not one of those people who's gonna be a stickler.
What the fuck are we talking about right now?
I don't fucking know.
No, like the realistic elements where it's like, oh yeah, sure, they do their day-to-day, but you never see how they manage. That's all.
I'm not doing it to be a stickler about like, ooh, who pumps the Batmobile's tires. I'm like, there has to be some element of realism to the characters, even in the most fantastical shows, so you can fucking relate to them a little bit. And that he's a Joe Schmo who works a kind of shitty job for an asshole boss. Great. It's like Clark Kent. You give him the Joe Schmo job so you can relate a little bit to him.
I actually like his boss.
You have... Yeah.
I think his
that's
boss
the problem
is
you have with fucking with Ghost and a lot of like post-decade series is these characters have fantastical jobs already.
They're ghost
jobs
hunters.
That you can't relate to normally already. Like fucking Wizard is already a wizard. That's fantastical.
Yeah.
Fucking like.
Well, I mean, in Forza, they're just students.
Like Drive is a cop, but that's not like cop that's shows are already
outlandish.
Like watching a different type of. Like job, a different, more exciting type of life.
You're usually learning something more about an experience rather than like, oh yeah, that's what I usually do when I'm a cop.
That's
on the weekends when I'm a cop, that's what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a cop for ladies' birthday party.
I mean, in Forza, they're students, so that's relatable for kids.
That makes sense.
In Forza, they're ridiculous cartoon character students, though.
Well, that's Modern Rider. What can you do about that?
And they don't actually go to class most of the time. There's all those scenes that are in a classroom where they're sitting in the back talking to each other about whatever Zodiarts is attacking.
Mm-hmm.
But they never actually are in a class learning or anything. But I guess that's probably true of all high school media.
They are a couple times when it's like, oh, we have this new teacher.
And then well, the Zodiacs, not really. You know, the teacher introduces themselves or whatever, and then there's one scene where they don't like Forze because he's weird.
Gintaro, yeah.
Yeah.
Japanese school is actually you just sit in a room for like 6 or 7 hours just talking to your friends and then you leave and go home.
Sounds pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah. They tried to do it in Gaim because they had him like trying to go out and get part time jobs, like he was out on his bicycle applying places. And then everything goes to shit
pretty quickly.
Like 10 episodes later, and they have to just leave it behind.
That still kind of worked though, because it acted as a little reminder early on that Koda's an old man. He isn't dancing isn't his job. He quit so he could deliver curry and make real money, just like a normal person would do.
He had to support him and his sister.
Yeah.
Although his sister does have a job.
Well, yeah, but you can't just freeload off your sister and dance all day.
That's what everybody else was doing in that show.
I did that for like 10 years. It didn't end well.
This man here is a Renaissance dancer. You don't know about him. This man right here could cut a rug with Leonardo da Vinci like no other.
But no one else.
That's not a joke, by the way. He actually is.
Okay. There's one thing I wanted to talk about. One large looming subject that I'd like to get to.
Absolutely.
Before we end. Let's talk about Ryuki's ending.
How you love it, even though it's bad?
I don't love it. I just think it works. It works. It's not great. I like it more than most people. That's for fucking sure. But I think...
I understand why it's there, but I feel like they wrote themselves into a corner with it. Like, it's really the only satisfying way to end the show, where they're like, oh, well, all these terrible things happened, and everyone's dead, so let's just reset everything, because that's really the best thing that could happen, is if this never happened. Which, on a conceptual level, sure, that works, but on, like, on a satisfying level of, like, oh, I just watched this show, and there were things that happened, it's like fuck you, none of that happened, whatever.
I don't know if that invalidates the whole show, though, because that's what the show built up to. Like, the show led up to that. It was foreshadowed with the time vent. It was foreshadowed with Yui convincing her brother that all this shit wasn't right. And all that shit was because of Shinji.
Does anyone remember the time loop? Is anyone aware that the time loop existed?
Pretty sure
That is what invalidates it to me. If
really?
One person remembered that the time loop existed, so that everything that happened previously is at least acknowledged in this new timeline.
Well, Kenzaki Shiro remembers. Does that count?
I guess.
Then, bam! Fuck you! It's a good
ending.
I
guess that counts. It's like the same problem a lot of people have with the... We're going to have with the Star Trek reboot movies. That it was going to invalidate the previous timeline. But old-ass fucking crusty Spock survived, so it was fine.
Who cares, though, about the timelines? You saw this. It's not like they're going back and destroying all traces of the TV show that you watched and loved.
Nerds care about the timeline.
And I say the same
it's
thing
for
Ryuki.
It's a satisfying conclusion. Like,
if
it leads up to something and you feel like the characters learned something or did something in the fashion of the story, it's not just all about... oh, well, what did I get out of this show? You know, was it enjoyable to watch? And so on and so forth. Does it feel like the story led up to a satisfying conclusion where these characters that I've come to know and enjoy, or know and hate, but like hating them because they suck so much, you know, were they put into an ending where you can be satisfied with the fact that, okay, well, these characters reached this point and they grew to this point? And that's why, like, resetting the clock endings for me are really hit or miss. Like,
it's
sometimes it can be satisfying, but other times it's like, so why did I read this if nothing ever happened and nothing came of it and that's it, and it was all a dream, or, you know, those sorts of things.
It's a cop-out. It's a cop-out in that there could have been a different, more satisfying conclusion to the story if they would have worked a little bit harder to figure it out. But this was the easier and safer conclusion that they could have gone with. And I feel like that's what a lot of people feel with this ending and why they dislike it. There are a lot of people who dislike it because it's just a reset, and they think a reset is like a hard, nothing that happened in the series mattered, which isn't really true. Because everything that happened in the series is still in the series. It's not like it got wiped from existence, too.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, but the show is still there, but
yeah, it's still a cop-out ending. At least I think so.
I'm not going to pretend it's not a cop-out, but I'm going to say that without the reset, we probably would not have seen the Rider War get played out to its logical conclusion. We would not been able to see all the Riders murdering each other and everyone dying. So this is just an unfortunate fucking, I know it sucks, it's an unfortunate reality of being a kid's show, but you have that reset or you have some saccharine sappy shit where they all get along in the end, and I think I would hate that way worse. It's gotta be one way or the other.
You know what would have been a really good ending though? A third choice?
What?
Is if there was some foreshadowing throughout the series that it eventually came to the point where Shinji figured out a way or something happened that wiped out all of their powers at once. So everyone who was obsessed with getting this wish was immediately denied it.
I could see that, but then that sort of leaves open, like, Knight's girlfriend is dead. That's a thing that was...
That's a sad ending. I mean, I'm not saying that this ending is happy.
Yeah. I guess that could be the bittersweet part of it.
It wouldn't have been a cop-out.
I would have liked to see an ending where it's not a total reset. It's sort of like they still know and understand to a certain point, you know, what it is that happened and the people that they met. But any of the destruction, any of the murder, those sorts of things are undone. Any Kanzaki Yui's bullshit that he was pulling, or no,
Kanzaki Shiro.
All that bullshit
that Yui pulled, all the tea she made.
Fuck her.
That
fucking asshole and her tea.
All the meddling that he did with all the mirror world and the experiments on that. Well, anything he dabbled in was undone. It still leaves open, like, what's his name? Oja's. I can't remember his name at the moment.
Asakura.
He's still a giant pile and still a murderer, so there's still that. And that's another thing, like with the normal ending. You're like, well, he's still around and he's probably still going to get in fights and kill people. But I mean, I guess that's the reality of the world. Like, there's always going to be murderers, which that's...
Comforting.
At the beginning of Ryuki Regular, he's in jail, but at the reset, when time's been reset, he's just walking around free. So, bad ending, I guess.
He broke out somehow in this new timeline.
Got out for good behavior.
I feel like if there's going to be one person who should remember the reset, it should be Shinji.
I think it'd be more interesting if it was Ren.
Because he won.
That's true.
Spoilers,
actually.
Ren wins the Rider War.
Yeah, Ren would have to live with the fact that he killed what eventually grew to be his best friend.
Yeah.
And then he'd have the choice to either introduce him to his life and, like, meet him and become friends with him again, or just let it be.
That'd be really interesting. I wish.
That'd be an interesting thing to lead off on instead of just nobody remembers at the end.
I guess he could have. It's very vague, but I don't think so.
It's a very vague ending, I will say that. Like, the ending nothing is spelled out for you.
All it is Shinji goes to a cafe, he just happens to wander into the same cafe, and he sits down and orders a tea, and Knight's there. And they look at each other, and that's it. So, like, I don't know, maybe. It's open-ended.
It's a cop-out.
I kind of think it would be fun if he did remember, if Ren did remember.
Yeah,
and
that might
he
be
just
better.
Tsundere works his way into Shinji's life. And it's like he crashes in. And he's like, "What are you doing, crashing into me?" You know, that sort of thing.
They fucks him,
And then they have
in
sex.
The butt.
They have sex in the hospital room where Ren's girlfriend would have been if she was in a coma, but she wasn't because of the timeline.
Now Shinji is Ren's girlfriend.
You're gonna kill me with this shit.
Yeah, the ending felt to me a little cheap. And I don't feel the same way that a lot of people do, where they absolutely fucking hated it.
No, I don't think it ruined the show or anything.
I don't hate it, but I think it could have been expanded upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are varying degrees of dislike for the ending. Liam likes it the most, and I think maybe Tomas likes it the least.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it.
I'm right in the middle where intelligent people hang out.
Fuck off. Boom! I forgive Ryuki for almost all of its flaws because I'm a huge bitch. But it does have a lot. I acknowledge that it has many flaws.
Ryuki is like your child. You cradle it every night.
It's my baby. I have a stack of Ryuki DVDs that I tuck into a little cradle.
I do that with Game Center.
Oh, I love Game Center. I keep meaning to say this on an episode of the podcast. I'm going to say it now before I forget. If Areno doesn't show up on an episode of X8, I'm going to riot.
God, that would be so man, fucking that would be great. Awesome.
With the propensity for putting comedians and shit in Kamen Rider, I think it could happen. We'll see.
Oh, man. That would be so fucking cool. Just have, like, one of those dumb, like, game premieres for a game that looks like it's 20 years old.
Yeah.
And have Areno just playing a game in the background.
He could look around
and go, whoa?
He could have the Bugster for that episode. He could be the Bugster patient.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would warm my heart.
And his Bugster could be a giant meatball Famicom.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Or a giant meatball bird that just flies around everywhere. Flies around like a Medusa head.
That would be amazing.
Speaking of giant meatball Medusa heads, what's your guys' favorite Ryuki rider? Since we're coming to a close.
What?
What's your guys' favorite Ryuki rider?
What does it have to do with giant meatballs?
It's just a poor segue. Go with it.
Answer the fucking question, Jeff.
My favorite Ryuki rider is Knight. Just kidding.
Oh.
Knight's the worst.
Here, I thought I wasn't alone in this room.
I feel like my favorite rider might be Zolda in the series.
That's a good
fucking
choice, actually.
I really love his character progression.
Yeah.
What about you, Tomas?
My favorite is Kamen Rider Ryuga? No.
Get the fuck off this podcast.
You know, I forgot about Ryuga until you just mentioned him right there.
What a blissful experience.
I mean, it's before the gold paint era, so.
Yeah,
they couldn't afford the gold paint because it was made of gold. They only had black paint.
Mm-hmm. I'd say my favorite writer, just because the second half of the show for me is kind of like all of the stuff with Tiger or Odin is just.
I love Tiger.
I'd have to say my favorite is Tezuka.
Also not a bad choice.
Raya,
yeah. Because he's pure-hearted. He has an interesting sort of job where he's just, you know, telling people's fortunes. And he happens upon this thing because his friend gets his hands all fucked up. And so he joins this Rider War. And he's like, wait, I don't want this. I don't want to hurt people. And so he lets the monster eat him. And so Tezuka is like, I need to do what I can to end this Rider War so my friend isn't eaten by this monster and he can play the piano again. And ultimately succumbs to kind of the same fate, except he dies to another rider instead of his own monster.
He changes fate. He's obsessed with the idea of fate, and he changes fate, averts it for Shinji's sake.
His arc is very good.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Liam's favorite is Knight. Let's move on. Do you want to talk about? You want to expound upon why Knight is your favorite?
Well, I've said it before. I like Knight because of his relationship to Shinji. They're friends. They go to the carnival together. They eat at the same table. They sleep in the same bed.
Well,
but they know
that isn't
deep down,
all of it.
Well, they fuck as well, but deep down, they know that one of them is going to have to die before the day is through. That, like, imagine, Jeff, if you and I were hanging out, and you knew that in order to save the one you love, you were going to have to kill me someday.
You're fucking dead.
I'd be dead that day.
Yeah, I would. If we were sitting on the couch watching something, I would pick up a pencil and shove it through your fucking eye.
Well, okay. Imagine Jeff is not a horrible human being.
Okay, let's
go into fantasy land. That I think that's an interesting dynamic for two characters to have, and that whole thing where Knight struggles with, like, he tries to like Shinji less as much as he can. He tries to, he's a good guy who's struggling to be evil and kind of failing around every turn. I think that's a really interesting arc for him.
He's constantly struggling with, like, it's like how Raya puts it. He's like, you know, you try to be this, you know, badass. Oh yeah, I can just kill anyone whenever I want.
But you can't do it.
No, you can't.
You can't do it.
You can't kill anyone.
You don't seem you've killed anyone.
He kills Odin twice.
Well, Odin's a different guy every time, and you never see him, so who cares?
Odin is a nobody.
Odin's not Shinji. It's not his butt buddy.
You know, Liam, I would have thought that your favorite would be Fem.
Fuck Fem. Why Fem? I hate the movies. I hate the 13 Riders TV special and Kamen Rider Ryuki episode final. Fucking dreadful.
Weren't they made so because the ending was so unsatisfactory, and then they're like a million times worse than the ending?
Yeah, they're both alternate endings, and they're both worse. And episode final, the only value that episode final has is it explains one crucial thing about the Mirror War, about the Rider War, is that the reason why it's held is because Kenzaki Shiro wants to steal the essence of the strongest Rider because it'll extend Yui's life by the longest. Okay, that doesn't make much sense, but it's a fucking explanation. No, it's better than nothing at all.
It doesn't make much sense at all.
but it's worse. It's like they fuck up and Yui dies, and then Kenzaki Shiro kills himself, and Knight and Shinji ride off into the sunset to fight a billion monsters. It sucks. It's garbage. I will speak no more of it.
It's fan fiction.
It's fan fiction.
Don't speak any more of Drag Blacker.
Drag fuck. Fuck Ryuga.
Tamaz is just dredging up all these horrible memories that we have repressed.
He's the first recolor. He's the first Dark Rider recolor. He's the first of many.
Technically. There's the evil burning Agito, but he's not a recolor.
Yeah. I guess
evil
if you wanna...
burning Agito?
The fucking Hyper Battle video.
Ryuki Hyper Battle.
I guess if you want to get really technical, the first evil recolor riders are the Shocker Riders, but I don't count those guys.
Yeah. Why not?
Because Showa is immune to all criticism.
There we go.
And it comes.
Somebody's on the right side of history now. Are we done talking about Kamen Rider Ryuki in the spoiler cast?
I'm gonna say real quick that Emperor did not do nothing wrong. He's a shithead. Anybody who has sympathy for Emperor sucks.
Emperor did nothing wrong, Liam.
He's an asshole. He's an asshole just like all those other people.
He is a huge asshole just like everyone else in the Rider War whose name isn't Shinji or Tezuka.
Yep. Or Tezuka, yep. There you go.
Because we've got a couple emails this time.
Oh, we're gonna do emails, okay.
We are gonna do emails. Our first email is from Onua, who says, you guys have brought up some toy questions lately, and I guess I can help with them because this garbage in my brain isn't useful for anything else.
Yeah.
First of all, Zolda's Magnavisor does in fact exist, and CS Toys has one for sale as I type this. So there's that.
Oh, that must have been put up recently or something.
I know where Liam's going after this. Second. Stop. Wait until we're done. Second, I have 4 Gashats so far, and there's absolutely no way that I can find to connect them to connect these tiny fuckers to a TV. Unless the belt does that, but then there isn't anything on these for it to read as game data. I think we were just being fed some dumb horse shit.
Yeah, there was a lot of misinformation flying around about X8 when the show was leading up to release. Remember that whole thing about, Kamen Rider X8 is the guy who accidentally created the Bugsters and they call him Father? Remember that?
Yeah.
That was just complete lies.
Jack shit to do with that.
Yeah. The video games being on the Gashats was complete lies. When will it end?
Thirdly.
Now?
And hopefully. I guess that's true. Thirdly, and I'm not sure if this is true for Liam's Land of French Snow, but you can get these things on Amazon. They're only like $6 more than if you got them at Japanese retail, which is probably less than you'd pay in shipping that way. That's the only reason I have so many.
Yeah, see, when I buy them from Amazon, I have to ship them to Canada, and it still costs a fuckload of money, because I have to ship them.
Well,
I still have to ship it internationally, so.
Probably because they're on Amazon.ca.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last, Jeff, if you want Mighty Action X, you're either going to have to buy the full belt or wait for the candy toy version that won't have any LEDs. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, on the other hand, you get a full belt. I mean,
I'm not buying the fucking belt.
The only massive. The only non-candy toys I have are the double driver. Like, that's it. Yeah. Everything else is candy toys.
I have the double driver and a non-candy toys orange lock seed.
Yeah.
No, I got three lock seeds and they're all candy toys.
Oh, that's a shame.
I've got three and one of them isn't. So
all my lock seeds are DX. Nothing less will do.
Oh my god. A question for the show. How fucked up would it be if Laser was the first to die and his body was stuck as a bike with Amu riding his corpse everywhere for the rest of the series?
Imagine if no one knew. They're like, damn, Laser, you've been really quiet lately. Oh, well.
He just dies while he's riding, and he's like, can you take up a vow of silence?
X8 turns too hard and snaps his neck accidentally, and that's
the end of that. Oh, God.
I really
that
hope
would be
he
fucked
does
up.
Something that isn't just be a bike. Because as it is right now, all he can do is be a bike
he
and
will.
Be a really, really dumb... Like, I don't like the level ones. I think they're dumb.
Yeah. I went back and looked at that image with all the different forms and the outlines with the question marks that we were talking about a couple episodes ago, Liam.
Yeah.
And he does have a level 3. The level 4 is blotted out.
Yeah, I checked it too. He's got a level 3 and it's not a bike. So he's in.
He is a person. He's going to be using that level 3 for the rest of the series.
Yep.
He's just shafted in level 2. It's like, okay, I guess I gotta get someone to ride me.
Yeah, poor bastard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably a metaphor in there somewhere. But
our next question is from Cetarex, who says, question for the spoiler cast, who's the best Ryuki rider and why is it Kitaoka? Well, who's on the right side of history with me?
This guy, Cetarex, apparently, and no one else.
Yeah, we've already went over that question.
Look, I love Kitaoka, but best rider? I don't know.
Best rider, Kitaoka.
I don't really like Kitaoka. I think he's okay. I don't hate him. He's not like Oja or anything. He's just kind of there. He's kind of like, he's not quite like a secondary rider. He's a tertiary rider. He shows up sometimes.
I mean, if you're dumb, yeah.
I think he's necessary in a story like Ryuki, where you have this wish. There's got to be at least one guy who's just, I want to live forever. I'm like we said already, I'm terrified to die. That's what's interesting about his character to me. I like him. I wouldn't say he's my favorite.
He is my favorite.
Maybe my second favorite.
I think necessary is a good way to describe him.
Yeah. Also,
yeah, if you
want to
be shitty about it.
Exactly. We got a message from Ian, who has been on the show before.
Hey, Ian.
He says, yo, real talk, I think Kuroto and Graphite are using the riders as test subjects. It's too early in the series for all to be all, these guys are the bad guys. What do you think?
I think they're the bad guys.
I think they are the bad guys.
These guys are the bad guys. They fit Graphite and the...
Pallid.
Who?
The guy with the Tetris pants.
Tetris.
The villains, dipshit. Are you watching the show?
Oh, those two?
Yeah.
Like the weird ass guy that's really ominous.
Yeah, Birdman and Ominous Gamer.
Yeah, they're the villains.
They give me too much of a heart, brain, and medic vibe for them not to be the villains.
Yeah, same.
Especially with the CEO man being Dark X-Aid now.
Which, I mean, we all
sure
could have
evil.
Called from like 5 seconds in.
And he's in league with them. Funny, there were Jeff and at least
that.
Yeah, Jeff and at least one other dude thought Pallid was Kamen Rider Genmu. And
it's
I was
because
like,
Pallid would walk off screen and be
okay.
like, I have something I need to do.
It's fucking
and
Jeff
then
excuse Kamen
Rider
hour.
Genmu would leap the fuck into the frame right afterwards.
Okay. I'm Jeff.
Why doesn't everyone on this fucking podcast just suck my dick?
Because it's one at a time.
That's true.
Get in line.
So, you are wrong, Ian. Thank you for being wrong on our podcast.
It makes me feel good about myself for once in my miserable life.
Our next message from space is from Zolkheim.
Okay.
And you should tuck yourself in for a story time.
Oh, boy.
So, Rider Club Radio, the other day I was visiting a garage sale in some neighborhood somewhere. There was this weird old guy whose table had only a bunch of old video game cartridges on them, all without their labels and the game names written on with Sharpie. That's when I found an old cartridge of Mighty Action X, and I, excited to go relive my childhood memories, bought it on the spot. The man said something weird about a boy who used to own it, but I didn't care enough to listen. By the way, he wasn't there anymore the day after. Spoilers!
I hate the story already.
I dusted off my old game driver off my wardrobe, started it up, and put the cartridge in. But instead of the usual X-Aid multicolored sparkles and particles all around, it was blood instead. Hyper-realistic blood at that. Not your 8-bit pixelated blood. I thought it was just a weird glitch, but as I went to level 1, I heard a creepy pixelated laugh that scared the shit out of me, so I didn't dare go to level 2. So I turned it off, then proceeded to live my day as normal. However, at night, I had a nightmare. There he was, staring at me, X-Aid, except he didn't look the same bright-colored goof he was. His eyes were all black with bright red purples. He was a rusty pupils? Shade of gray instead of his usual pink, and the green trims were actual blood. There was blood smears on him, and he was apparently crying blood, too. Hyper-realistic blood. He murmured something I couldn't make out. Terrified, I woke up. Except it wasn't over. My game driver was now gray and old-looking like the creepy X-Aid. But then suddenly it spoke to me in a creepy voice. I'm the ghost of the boy that owned this before. I'm dead now because I killed myself after killing my parents. And now I'm gonna make you kill yourself, too. Then I remembered what the X-Aid in my dream had said. It was his name in the original Japanese, except with a syllable missing. Eguze. Then I realized his name. KamenRider.exe.
Oh, fuck off.
If you're reading this, it means I'm totally dead, and this is a real story, not just something I did after getting drunk listening to creepypasta readings on Halloween for no reason. By the way, Shakariki Sports Jingle is actually Walk This Way.
Okay, now I gotta go back and listen to that and Walk This Way, so I guess I think... I love video game creepypasta stories. They're the worst thing ever to plague the internet.
It's so fucking bad. I love it. Thank you so much for writing that in, Zolgheim. I laughed so much when I read it the first time.
My favorite trope with them is when they're playing the video game, it's like there's literal blood spilling out of my computer, and my dead grandmother is here saying, "Ah, your mother sucks cocks in hell, I'm gonna kill ya."
And that was weird, but I kept going.
And yeah, I kept playing because I was curious.
Yeah, the one that I love the most is the Super Mario 64 one, where, like, Mario goes to hell in it, and there's all the paintings are, like, family photos of this kid's family.
Well,
and he's like, they're
playing.
Crying blood, and the family members are falling apart in the photos, but I just pushed on. I wondered what I'd see next.
This is exciting.
Yeah, if I saw that, I think I would just go ahead and throw that fucking system and everything, all the cords, all the games, into the ocean. And call it a day.
But Jeff, then you don't unlock any achievements.
Oh, I kept playing because I wanted to unlock the achievements.
I needed to unlock the achievement. Go to hell.
I had to get those chivos.
Thanks for writing that in. That's all the emails we have this time. So okay. Thanks for tuning in for this Ryuki spoiler cast, everybody.
We have an email. That's riderclubradio@gmail.com.
We got a Twitter. That's @riderclubradio. You can tweet at us. Several of our questions this time were through tweets or direct messages. So get on that shit.
Yeah, we'd love it.
And Tomas will be back, like, next year, I guess.
Tomas will return in Superman 4, The Quest for Peace. So look forward to that.
I'll be back whenever they ask me to, which will be, yeah, next year.
Yeah, we don't fucking want that guy.
as rarely as possible, we'd like to have Tomas on here, so.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Good night. Say goodbye, Tomas.
Goodbye, Tomas. Shigeki-sarete, shikawo-te-ishi.